Hi, Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680, with Mark Gardner, with pitching coach of the San Francisco Giants. The professor and I had an interesting discussion the other day about pitchers warming up between innings or even just before the game starts. Is what they work on, should hitters be watching it, and what goes on there?
Well, I think you mean the starting pitcher warming up prior to the game. Yeah, you're getting loose. You're using all your pitches. You're trying to get your control in line, both sides of the plate, trying to get everything dialed in mechanically. And hitters can watch it. Yeah, there's really no secrets in the game. There's so much video. There's so much data out there that, sure, watching a guy, you might think he's wild. Well, the other night, Derek Law was pitching, and he probably threw one strike, came in and saved the game. So if you're watching him, you're not going to swing, and ended up there with a couple of strikeouts and a save. So it really, I don't put a whole lot into warming up before a guy goes in, as long as he's healthy. You might see some loss in velocity, or maybe they're rubbing their arm or something like that, then there's a red flag there. But other than that, they're just getting loose and just trying to prime up and get in there.
All right. Well, you're a major league pitcher for a long time. Mark Gardner joins us. What about between innings, when the pitcher goes out to the mound to take his eight tosses between innings, and you see what he's throwing between innings, and how all this came up? Yogi Berra told Jorge Posada, said he asked Yogi, what do you do? How do you know what they're going to throw? Yogi says, watch him between innings. And if you see what he's working on, that's probably what you're going to get.
Well, there's some truth to that. I think if you remember Romo, when he would come out and he would just kind of lob it in there and really not give him what he's got that night, warming up, and then all of a sudden he's ready. So there was a little deception there. But, yeah, for the most part, guys are just trying to get a feel for being on the field, getting ready for that to face that hitter. And, there's probably, if you're on the road, there's crowd noise and a little more excitement. So you're just trying to, shake the cobwebs loose a little bit and go at him. Now the hitter might catch something, like maybe he's not getting a certain pitch over and maybe crossing that off his list. Like I said, to me, it doesn't really hold a lot of water on what's going on out there to what's going to happen.
All right. That's why we ask the questions. Now, I guess I want to be specific, though. In between innings, the guy gets eight tosses. Now, let's say the first couple of innings, he's had trouble with his fastball. You were a curveball pitcher, trouble with the curveball. If I'm a hitter watching you throw eight curveballs in between innings as your warm-up, I'm going to get an idea that maybe he's going to throw me a curveball.
Well, I think if you watch a guy, he does the same thing every time out. He'll probably throw two fastballs, two sliders, two changeups, maybe a curveball, and then the throw down a second's a fastball. Okay. So very rarely are you going to see a guy go out there and throw five or six of one pitch.
Okay.
Maybe fastball. Maybe he doesn't feel like he needs to work on his breaking stuff and some guys don't even take eight. I remember going, late in the game and just saying, I'm ready, and throw maybe four and get it down there and let's go.
Yeah.
So, you won't see that very often. Guys are very routine oriented. So it's two of these, two of those, two of them, and let's go.
All right. I love talking to Mark. We've known each other over 20 years now. We've been talking baseball together. The professor also had another idea. He said, look, when a pitcher comes in for an injured pitcher, that he has to come out to the mound and get loose for like 15 minutes, he should be able to do that in the bullpen and just use the bullpen and then come out to the pitching mound when he's ready.
Yeah, I think you can. But then again, if I'm a pitcher, I want to warm up on the mound that I'm going to warm up on and take my time and get a feel for that mound out there. Like in Cincinnati, it's totally different. The one in the bullpen compared to the one on the mound out on the field, it's just it's a flatter mound. So I wouldn't mind warming up on that mound. I myself don't mind if people are watching me warm up. They know what I have. They know what I'm going to do. And it's a matter of execution.
All right. Interesting discussion about pitching. All right. The other thing that came up on the show, and I know you always wave to us as you walk by, what came up, it was someone, Joe Posnanski, who writes for the Sports Illustrated from Kansas City. He's a good sports writer. He said, for people like yourself, the anchors of the organization whose numbers are not retired, that the coaches or a manager should wear that number every once in a while, like a number of a Lincecum or a Will Clark, whose number actually is being used, or something like that. How would you feel about that?
Well, I think if that player was vital to the organization, I don't see anything wrong with that. Maybe honoring a guy and doing that. But retired numbers are pretty sacred, and so if you're one of those guys that are in line to have their number retired, I think that number should probably be on a shelf right now.
Yeah, well, if it's not retired, let's say one of the all-time goods, Jim Ray Hart, Jack Clark, or something like that, then at least you have that, you see that number and you remember it. And Lincecum is another one.
Oh, no doubt, the 55 is a legendary number here in San Francisco, and Timmy was quite the pitcher there for us. And if that's how you should honor a guy, then let's do it.
All right. All right. I'm glad you're open to that. The bench coach wasn't so open to it. He said, well, people tease me because I was never that good, and I'm wearing a number of someone who was pretty good. You were pretty good, so you can get away with it. The other suggestion that came up, and I'll just fool around with you for just another minute here, the archways. Someone said, well, they ought to name the archways, the McCovey, Mays, instead of Archway 1, 2 or something. Name the archways to honor those players. What do you think about that?
The retired players in the Hall of Famers, that wouldn't be bad. That'd be something another thing for John Miller to address on the air, but you'd have to memorize them. I'm sure they'd be in chronological order, but that's just another, it would be another accent for the park, and I think people would enjoy it.
All right, he's got a future in marketing. I can see it. I can see this from Fresno. He knows what marketing's all about. All right, going to St. Louis and Chicago. Those parks present unusual challenges for you as a pitching coach, and you did pitch at least in Wrigley. I'm not sure the St. Louis park was there when you pitched.
Well, the parks were never the problem. It was the hitters. Those guys were always the problem, and both teams have really good hitting squads, and we're going to have to bear down on those guys and make our pitches and get a lead early. So, we really don't pay attention to the park as much. Sure, Wrigley, we look at the flags and see if the wind's blowing in, but for the most part, we're concentrating on those hitters, and those guys with bats in their hands are dangerous.
All right. I appreciate talking to you as always, Mark. Thank you.
All right, you bet.
All right, more coming up, KMBR 680, the Sports Leader.